Welcome back to another episode of the Ryan Ragone Show on Bleed Network and Draft Network. We're at Golden Touch Cuts Barbershop on the Coral Gables campus here at the University of Miami. I'm here with none other than Cam McCormick.
Appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, man. So I wanted to bring you on for a couple of reasons. There's a lot of things to talk about, you know, in your 8 years or 7 years of college. So we're going to get into all of it. But first, you know, I wanted to start off by... you know, saying, I'm glad you're here. You know, I'm glad I was such a good host, you know, so, you know, on your recruiting visit that, you know, you ended up committing and coming. So we're cool on that. I mean, you, but I wanted to get into basically where you're from at the beginning, like of your football career, you know, all those years ago. You're from Arizona, right?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Arizona. And then I basically moved up to Oregon to go to high school. And then kind of followed up that with going to school out in Oregon for the past 7 years. And like you said, I have eight. I'm on my eighth year, and I could potentially play a ninth, which would be a record-setting thing for college football.
Wait, so the record isn't eight? What is the record right now?
The record is eight, but I'm going into my eighth. So, like, I'm tied. Like, there's only one other person that's done 8 years.
Who's that?
I think it was like some linebacker. I'm not exactly sure. But if I were to come back for next year, it would be nine. I would be the only person to ever do 9 years of college football.
I'm not gonna lie, that sounds insane. Like 9 years, almost a decade.
Yeah, it does. It, you know, and that's what, like, seeing like all the like art, like all the like articles and pages like posting it. Like, it does sound crazy, but at the end of the day, like, a lot of it was, you know, riddled with injuries.
Yeah.
And then, like, I really had only played 2 years. You know, I played a year in 2017. And then this past year, I played the full season. So all those other years, I was really just, like, rehabbing an injury that, like, you know, was kind of there. And we couldn't really figure out what it was, which was unfortunate. But, you know, now I've been able to, you know, kind of – I found out what it was, and then I've been able to recover from that and basically play a whole season, which has been great. So,
yeah. No, that's great. You know, we'll get more into that, but, you know, tell me about your time growing up in Arizona. Do you have any siblings?
No, I don't have any siblings. I'm an only child.
Oh, you're the only child.
Only child. I got two. Yeah, I'm an only child.
I got six.
Yeah, that's crazy. You probably got a lot of stories.
Yeah,
I feel like I don't really have many stories. I got a lot of stories about my friends.
Man.
My mom raised me. It was just me. My mom really, my grandma was involved a lot too. But she lived in Pennsylvania. So, you know, it's really just me and my mom in Arizona for 13 years, kind of kicking it, living, getting through what we could, you know. Out there is more like, I just really had a lot of friends. That's really what it was like, because I didn't have many siblings. So I kind of just leaned on the people around me and like all my friends that I kind of go hang out with. Mm-hmm. Growing up. I feel like it's a blessing being an only child, but like it also kind of sucks because, you know, you don't have that like
that real
brotherhood. Bond. Yeah, like that real bond. Like I feel like I've, you know, moving out to Oregon, like I've met friends, and you know, I feel like there's one that I would really say like is my brother, and like, you know, we'll do anything for each other. Uh-huh. And that's like, I feel like the closest thing to like a brother to me.
Yeah.
Also like at Oregon, like I look at those friends that I have that are like my brothers, you know what I mean? So it's like, I pour my all into like my friends, and like, I'd do anything for them. You feel me? So.
Man, but it is kind of crazy to me. Like, thinking about being the only child, because you never had those experiences of like fighting with your brother, like, like I'm talking like full-fledged, like punching like in the face, like just going at it.
Never.
For the littlest things.
Yeah.
Too. For the
never.
Littlest things. And
never.
Then like, all right, like making up and being fine about it.
Right.
Like, because you could do that, you could call, you know, your friend, your brother, like, because y'all have such a bond, but really it takes one fight, you know, because you don't have to go home with him.
Yeah,
he goes his way.
I go my way. Yeah,
yeah. And you could never see him again. This
yeah,
and that, like,
and we do get in fights, but like, it's not like it's just different, you know?
Yeah, it's
like,
different.
Like it's like, oh, is this really gonna matter? Like, is it like your brother? Like, you gonna hold that against your brother for a little bit of time? So, yeah.
Like, I could. Oh man, like I have so many stories, like six kids, you know, growing up, especially like we fought a lot about food.
Right.
Like I'm telling you, like you gotta eat real, like a bunch of people will fight or talk to me when I'm eating. They're like, man, like you eat fast. Like we're still like maybe halfway and you're almost like done.
Right.
Or you are done.
You gotta worry about your food going away, huh?
Yeah, you gotta eat quick if you want seconds.
Right.
No, but how'd you end up getting into football?
You know, I feel like as a young kid, you know, your parents is always pushing you to play sports. Mm-hmm. And out in Arizona, you know, it was basketball. So, you know, when you're littler, it's the soccer, baseball, basketball. It's kind of, you just kind of go through all the sports and kind of figure out which ones you like. You know, I started playing around in Pop Warner a little bit when I was younger and started to fall in love with the game then. And then I realized if I'm going to continue to play football, like I didn't know if like being in Arizona, like I didn't know if I was going to play football in the heat because I didn't like playing like the idea of being in full pads mm-hmm. in 110, 115 degree weather. Like that just didn't sound like something I wanted to do. So I was like, I'm going to stick to baseball and basketball. And then, you know, my mom had been there for 26 years. So she wanted to, we had visited my grandparents who lived in Oregon at the time in Bend. And she really liked it. She decided to move from Arizona to Bend, which was kind of like a culture shock. There's not a lot of diversity out in Oregon in general. But when I got out there, I was like, at that point I was in high school. So I basically was like, I gotta, you know, play a fall sport. So I was like, I'm gonna do football, mm-hmm. basketball, and then I ran track so that was kind of the three that I picked up in high school. And that's kind of where I really fell in love with football again. I'd always loved it, but I just didn't really – I stopped playing after Pop Warner because I just was like, I don't want to do this in the hot weather. Like, that's not something that interests me. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I'm grateful that we did end up moving there because I was able to get a scholarship to go to the next level, get my education paid for, and kind of experience college because I don't think I would have really went to college if it wasn't for, you know, a scholarship – to play football, and I'm grateful for that.
No, for sure. So up in Oregon, when you first got there, you're talking about culture shock and things like that. I mean, you're going from Arizona, desert, you know, really, to up in the Northwest, tons of different atmospheres up there. I mean, what I'm trying to say is the weather, things like that. Mm-hmm. Is it real rainy up there too?
It's super rainy. Yeah. Rainy, cloudy, you know, overcast all the time. There's not that many days of sun, really? Which like in this, you know, like kind of like middle of spring through summer and like into like fall, it's sunny, it's warm, but then it like other days it's just cold, rainy, mm-hmm. clouds in the sky every day. Like it's kind of, it's kind of depressing. Like,
yeah, it sounds
you don't see a lot of the sun. So, I know that when I had got out here, you know, they had done their little entry physical or whatever, and they had told me that I was lacking vitamin D
from the sun. Yeah,
and I'm like, that makes sense because there's not a lot of sun in Oregon. Like, uh-huh. and being out here, like, I'm seeing it every day, which is great. Like, I love it so much. So,
that's funny to me because you know, you imagine it to be like that, but. There's some things like they say Texas, like, oh, y'all ride horses over there.
Yeah.
There's desert in Texas, which I guess there is, like far out west, like more towards, like if you're gonna go to like New Mexico, Arizona area. But like up in Oregon, you would think they would have sunny days, but in TV shows, it's always rainy and things like that. Like up in Seattle, it's always cloudy.
Always.
Think, oh, that's just like the effect, but it's really like that.
No, it's really like that. Like. It ain't no joke. It's really like that every day for certain parts of the year, which kind of sucks. But like the thing with there is like the environment's beautiful. There's a lot of outdoor things to do. Like if you like to do outdoor things, like you can go do that. There's a lot of hikes, a lot of waterfalls, a lot of like cool things to go see, the coast. But like it's just a different type of environment from, I mean, out here, obviously.
Yeah. So tell me how it was getting back into football there and playing high school football.
Playing high school football, I feel like And I really don't feel, I didn't feel like I really took off in within my football career until like my junior year. Freshman year, I played on JV because they didn't really think that like playing on varsity was like in anybody's best interest at the school at the time. Played on JV, and then my sophomore year, I was playing JV and varsity, which is cool. I was playing a little bit of running back.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't sure what I was going to play. And then when I started to get into that, like, oh, you're going to start playing varsity, I started to play tight end more, and then outside linebacker, D end. And then junior year is kind of when I really was like, I feel like I could do something within football. Yeah. So I really, you know, hit the weight room hard, and like took football serious. And I was fortunate enough to have people around me that had connections, and was able to get, you know, some offers by the end of my junior year. And, you know, when I had got the offer from Oregon, it was like so surreal. Like I was like I knew beforehand, like, this is where I want to go. I feel like as a kid, like you saw the Oregon Ducks, like they were, that was the school back then. Like everyone was like, oh, the jerseys, the,
trying to think,
to yeah. me, like from being on the West Coast, at least, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm trying to think, because I had a friend that went to Oregon, and it was some time ago, and you might have been there. So who recruited you at Oregon?
Mark Helfrich.
Who was the head coach there?
Mark Helfrich.
Oh, okay, he recruited
Mark Helfrich, and then the recruiters was like Tom Osborne and Steve Greatwood.
Okay. What coaches did you have there?
I had Mark Helfrich, Willie Taggart.
And then Cristobal?
Cristobal. And then I just had Coach Lanning.
Coach Dan Lanning, okay.
So four head coaches.
Okay. Do you know Kirk Merritt?
Yeah. I played with Kirk. My freshman year, I played with Kirk Merritt, yeah.
Okay, dang.
Yeah. That was my freshman year, and then he transferred.
He went to A&M,
yes.
And he went to JUCO, and he ended up at Arkansas State, where I was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Small world. That's crazy. Yeah, I remember playing with Kirk Merritt. Yeah. I actually still talk to Kirk every now and then, too.
So do I. I was messaging him the other day.
That's cool, man.
Actually, look, I think I got a story notification today. You know how you get memories on Snapchat?
You had a memory from him? Or when y'all was at Oh, yeah. He's so funny.
No, that's my dog right there. That's funny, the first memory.
Well, Kirk, if you watch this, what's cracking?
Yeah, my boy, what's good? He's up in he's down in New Orleans now.
Yeah.
Playing ball still. Saints. So tell me about your first couple of years there at Oregon. How was that?
First couple of years, it was really like a lot of learning. I feel like coming from high school to college, it's obviously a change for everybody, and you got to get adjusted to it. I knew that when I was my senior year of high school, I tore my ACL. Mm-hmm. And I enrolled early to go to at Oregon to do rehab and stuff like that. So I knew when I was going there, like, there was already three tight ends that were seniors on the team. Like they were the guys, like they were on their way out. So I was like, I knew that going in my freshman year that it was going to be like, I was going to be on, like, in the back, really. Like, I was going to redshirt, and I knew that it was going to just be a big year to learn and kind of experience college and also learn from those guys and take away what I could take away from them. Mm-hmm. It was Evan Bayless, Farrell Brown, who's in the league right now with the Browns, and then Johnny Munt, who is he's with the Vikings right now. So, that first year, I just watched them and kind of learned the game from them, the do's and the don'ts of college, and kind of how to practice, kind of just everything, really. Like, I feel like they taught me a lot when I first got there. And that the following year, we got a new head coach, Coach Taggart. And when he first got there, we were going through those workouts, and I had got rhabdomyolysis, which basically, like, your muscles basically shut down, like stop working.
Rhabdo.
So that I was in the hospital for a week with that, and like basically like I had to come back to train, and so all that training I had done my freshman year basically sent me back. It was gone.
Yeah.
So I basically had to, like, it took me like I think like 2 to 3 months to fully build up like my like all my strength again. Like I was playing that season, which was that my first year playing, was like I was like half like I felt like I wasn't even strong. Like I remember benching 135, I can only do it like three times. I was too tired. Like
how
it was like
bad was Rabdo? You know I hear about Rabdo all the time. They talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, they do specific workouts and do things a certain way so your players won't get it.
Yeah.
You're the first person I've ever met that's actually got it.
Yeah, it was crazy, really. I remember it was like the typical like, oh, you got to complete it as a team.
Yeah.
Like everyone's got to complete it as a team. And yeah, the task was you do 10 perfect push-ups.
Yeah.
Shoot. 10 perfect sit-ups, uh-huh. 10 perfect bodyweight squats, and I think like a 30-second plank, something like that.
Yeah.
And if anybody messed up, you had to do 10 up-downs. And I swear, it was it could have taken the – that was like the warm-up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could have taken the team five minutes to do. And I swear, for the first workout, because we were at 6 a.m., we were in there for the whole hour doing – and we never got past push-ups. Like, it was, like, 10 push-ups, or you get, like, 8 push-ups, someone would mess up. Or, like, you had to all stay together, someone mess up 10 up-downs. I think the first day I did 300 push-ups, 300 up-downs.
Oh.
And then they're like, all right, well, we're not going to move on to the next thing the next day until you get it right. Like, this is what we got to do. Next day we got there, same thing. 300, 400 push-ups, up-downs. Like, and it was like my arms were just feeling crazy. Like, I remember at the time I had, like, long hair. Like, I had to ask my homie, like, hey, bro, can you put my hair up? Because yeah. I physically couldn't lift my hands above my head to do anything. Like, I had to, when you eat, you know, you bring the food.
Yeah.
I had to go to the food. Like, I just put it in. I had to go to it because I couldn't, like, my arms were just, like, dead.
Uh-huh.
Like, I literally had, like, felt like I couldn't even move my arms. So, it was honestly... I didn't even know what it was at the time. I thought I was just getting a really good pump. Like I was like, I'm getting swole. Like yeah, this is
damn, my muscles.
Yeah, like yeah. I'm looking jacked this uh-huh. beer. I was in the hospital for a week. What really frightened me about it was like long-term effects of like kidney failure, which could have happened. Good thing we caught it when we caught it. I remember I was at dinner one night with my homie and the doctor called me. He's like, you need to go to the hospital right now.
What?
And I'm like, go to the hospital? He's like, yeah, like we got, because they had checked my blood because I was the pee, like when I was peeing, it was like, it looked like Coke.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't normal. Like, I got to get this checked out.
Yeah.
So they're like, this is bad. You need to go to the hospital. So I was basically in the hospital for a week, just on like, hooked up to an IV, getting like water back in my system and whatnot. So. But that was the first 2 years of college. We get into my third year. after playing all 2017, it's supposed to be like my breakout year. First game, this was Coach Chris Ball's first year. First game against Bowling Green. We ran like outside zone end of the first quarter. And I remember it was outside zone and I remember getting rolled up on. Mm-hmm. Like I just felt like I was like blocking outside zone front like – tight end was the front side and running to the sideline and I just felt like somebody landed on the back of my leg, rolled up on it, and I was like, dang. I tried to stand up and like when I tried to stand up and like put my foot in the ground, it felt like my foot was loose and like and like I felt like the bone, like
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it felt like I was going the leg was gonna go out. So broke my leg, my fibula and dislocated my deltoid ligament. And that basically ended 2018 year. So I got that fixed. Got into 2019, kind of done spring, like rehabbed the whole year, yeah. Got into spring ball, did spring ball. And then in summer conditioning, like we're doing now, fourth quarter program, I was running and like I felt some weird pain in my foot. And I was like, that's odd. Like I feel like I got this fixed. There shouldn't be a problem from it, right? And, you know, it was like, oh, well, it's just tendonitis. Just keep strengthening it. We'll get it back. Basically, what ended up happening was I kept pushing through it, and what they used to connect that deltoid ligament to the bone basically, like, sawed its way through my bone to basically get, like, a stress fracture.
Yeah.
So I basically fractured that medial malleolus on the inside of my foot, the ankle bone. So I had to basically get surgery to take what they had in out and put two screws in to basically fix the bone now, because the ligament was healed, but now the bone was broken half. So they did that. Then I go a whole nother year, rehabbing. That was the year, that was 2019. That's the year we won the Rose Bowl. Won the Pac-12 championship. It was a great year, but like, unfortunately I was like sidelined the whole year, you know what I mean? But so we got through that. So I had surgery at the end of that year. And then now we're getting into like COVID, kind of get through spring ball again, right? I did the first spring ball practices, like feeling good. Then we had to go home for break, right? Oh, actually, no. Right before break, we were doing a run. No, I lied. We did a couple practices of spring ball, went home because that was when COVID picked up.
Yeah.
When we came back, we did like the fourth quarter run, and I felt some pain in my foot again. And I was oh my gosh, like, what is this? Like, there should be no reason that, like, I thought we got this handled type of thing. So we get into the season, and that was, we only had six games in because it was COVID. And while trying to, like, push it, like, I was, like, limping every day. Like, it was just, like, it was really messing up me mentally and physically, because I was, like, I just want to play football. Like, I came here to play football, and I haven't been able to really do that yet just because of the circumstances that had presented themselves. Basically, what happened in 2020 was those two screws that they put in, right? Those two screws, when they put them in, they were impinging on my posterior tib tendon in my foot. And it caused me to rupture that tendon in my foot. So there goes that 2020 season, right? And now I'm like, I got to get this fixed. So I want to get a second opinion. I'm going to go to a new doctor.
Yeah.
So I found this dude on Instagram, right? And he was like, his name was Bob Anderson. And I had watched like a, it was like a, not a 30 for 30, but like, it was on like SportsCenter. They were playing pool or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And Plaxico Burress was talking about how he played in the Super Bowl after he had a surgery like a couple weeks before. I was like, I sent it to my mom, and I'm like, hey, check this out. Look at this dude right here. Like, we got to get in contact with him. Like, he seems like he knows what he's doing, right? Long story short, that dude, this dude, Bob Anderson, the guy that had been doing my surgeries, he had mentored. He had been like a shadow to Bob Anderson. So there was a connection there. So I was basically able to get in with this dude and Bob Anderson in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole time everyone was like, oh, it's going to be a, it's a long process. Like, you might, like, you make it be hard to play football again, right? I went and saw Bob Anderson, and he's like, oh, I know exactly what this is. I know how to fix it. You're only going to be out for a couple, like, 6 months. And I was like in shock, because I was like, I thought it was going to be, I was going to miss a whole other year, right?
Yeah.
So I basically had a full ankle reconstructive surgery, like the whole deal, tendon transfer, heel osteotomy, like the whole thing. He took the screws out. Recovered from that the whole year, going into 2021 season. First game, Fresno State. Played a little bit. Next game was Ohio State. And I was like, talking to Coach Cristobal, my position coach, I'm like, I feel really good. I feel like I'm ready to go. I'm ready to have this team a lot more than what I've been doing. And I showed them that week of practice that I was able to move and do the things that they wanted me to do. And I remember Ohio State, we flew out to Ohio State, craziest, loudest game I've ever been in. And what is the start of the second quarter, I think, we were backed up in our end zone. We ran like a little Y delay corner, caught it, got hit, shed of the defender. And when I went to go take that step, I tore my Achilles in my opposite foot.
Oh my gosh.
So
what in the world?
Yeah, crazy, crazy. But I feel like all those injuries that I had to been through. Oh, so I guess I'll keep going. Tore the Achilles, went a whole nother year, 2021 to 2022, and rehabbed, got that strong. Took my time. I wasn't in any rush. I just wanted to do it right. My foot that had all the problems on it for all those years was feeling great.
Yeah.
And I just looked at it like this is something I can keep getting stronger. You know what I mean? Like, I can keep doing rehab on both my legs and really just get to that peak level that I need to be at in order to play. And the whole time, obviously, you know, you're dealing with the mental part of it.
Yep.
However, but, you know, I told everybody the Achilles injury was the easiest one. I feel like it was so simple. It was, let's just sew it back together and let's just rehab it. And it's a waiting game. You know what I mean? Whereas the other ones are like hardware in, hardware out, hardware in, hardware out. So I basically rehabbed that. And then I got to 2022 this past year. Played all 13 games, started 6 of them, won a Holiday Bowl. And like, I couldn't have been like any more happy to be out on the field, you know? It was a great year, a great memory. You know, there was a lot of battles, a lot of long nights, a lot of talks with my family. There was loss that, like, this past year. You know, it was tough, but I'm glad that I'm on the other side of it. And I just kept telling myself, like, there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Like, just keep pushing, just keep pushing, just keep pushing. Like, eventually you're going to see all that hard work that's going to pay off. Decided to transfer. You know, I had got 2 degrees from Oregon, my undergrad in advertising and my master's in advertising and brand responsibility. And I felt like I had done everything I could at Oregon. I got my 2 degrees. I've done plenty of internships. I met the most amount of people I feel like I can meet there. It was time that I expand and kind of move on to the next part of my life, the next chapter, and kind of meet new people, experience new opportunities, and kind of get away from what I was used to. I feel like I was getting complacent in my life, and I wanted change. I wanted something new. And I feel like Miami was a great place for me because the people that were already here, the connections that I had with coaches, but also like the amount of opportunities in the state, in Miami, the amount of people out here that can help me in my future. You know, I feel like connection to me is huge. And the more connections you have, the better and farther you're going to go in life. And I feel like whatnot, but University of Miami, like, yeah. Miami, Florida, like, it's a great place.
Who wouldn't want to be here? You know?
Yeah, like, who wouldn't want to be here? Yeah, exactly. So, I know I was talking for a while.
No, but that's good. I mean, I wanted this.
Yeah,
I
want to
hear your story. I want to hear everything about it.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of, I did want to get into this one part. Speaking of loss, you know, if you want to expand on that, because
I know
this past year you had lost a friend, and really the whole country had saw, you know,
for who sure
it was and things like that.
Yeah,
was everywhere. And we, in a way, obviously I never knew him, but we saw the grief because we had people that transferred last year from Oregon. Our coaches from Oregon knew who he was, and so we saw the grief.
Yeah.
Tell me about, you know, that experience about your friend.
Yeah, so Spencer Webb was he's a tight end for Oregon. He was there from his first year was in 2018. I remember I took him on his official visit, and at the time I was like, at the time when he first got there, I looked at people coming in as competition. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like that guy that was like, oh, I'm not gonna help him. Like, he can get it on his own. Like, when I got in, no one helped me. I kind of just followed and got it on my own. But over the years, you know, I learned to understand people more and be that figure to help people. You know, knowing his background and knowing how he grew up and who he had and who he didn't have. I felt like it was almost my responsibility to kind of be there for him, help him grow while he was away from home. and we got a lot closer over the years. Through all my injuries, you know, he was always there helping me, and I was always there helping him throughout what he was going through. This past July, you know, he was doing a lot of good things for himself and changing his life around a lot, like, tremendously. And in July, I remember see that this moment stuck with me forever. We had a meeting in the morning. It was a get real meeting, and we talked about gratitude, right? And at the end of this, you know, what we were thankful for. And at the end of this meeting, we had to talk about, we had to write a note to somebody that we were grateful for, you know, thankful for. And I remember coming out of the lift, there was a card in front of my locker, and I was like, oh, like, who wrote me a card? Like, I'm, you know, I'm just, I feel like, to me, it's just like, oh, like, who's going to write me a card, right? It was a note, it was a card from Spencer, just saying, like, how thankful he was that I'm in his life, that he's met me, and that he's so excited to, like, get on the field with me next year, this past year, and what we could finally do together, because obviously we had both been healthy. Mm-hmm. And that was basically, like, our first season going to be playing together. That day, later on that day, and, like, obviously we had to exchange those words in the locker room that we loved each other and, you know, that we were thankful for each other. But, you know, 2 hours later, well, I would say we had a meeting, that like an event that night as a position group, you know, we were like position bonding or whatever. And I remember we got there to the event and we were all waiting to go in, and we were like, well, like, where's Spence at? And I was kind of making a joke, like, oh, like, I wonder who's going to be the last one here, right? Like, because we were waiting on other people. I was like, I wonder who's going to be the last one here, blah, blah, blah. So I called his phone, and I'm like, I just, you know, I knew Spence, and I knew that he's, you know, normally around his phone. And I called him. I didn't get an answer. I called him again. I didn't get an answer. And I was like, that's odd. Like, he should be driving here. Like, I know he knows that we have to, like, we're coming here. And that's when our coach was like, I got some really bad news. You know, Spencer hit his head, a cliff jump in, and passed away. And at the moment, I was like, I was in shock. Like, I was like, nah, like, that doesn't sound right. Like, I didn't believe it at first. And we kept talking, he kept telling us and talking to us about it. And I feel like it started to set in a little bit. And I had to call, you know, my mom, because my mom knew how close of a relationship I had with Spencer. But also, like, my mom was, like, not his mom, but, like, because she was my mom, she took care of him, like, the way she take care of me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, that was just such a devastating moment for me. Like, I was just, like, I remember just calling my mom and just bawling, crying on the phone, like, because that was, like, my best friend, like, everybody that I had once known at Oregon that I was really close to had already left. And he was like that next, like that best friend to me. And I told you earlier, like, when I guess you're my brother. Like, to me, that hit home. Like, I've never lost anybody close, and he was the first person I've ever lost. And, you know, like, that was really hard for me. Because, like, he was, like, just making tremendous, like, strides in his life to where he once was when he first got there. Like, I just seen him grow up, really. And it was tough. It's still tough to this day, you know, thinking about it. Like you said, he impacted a lot of people. I know his presence on social media, he was very, you know, outspoken. He lived life. He liked to have fun. I know that's what he's known for. He was all over the place. I swear, you know, some of the best memories I have are just him, like, he'd call me, he'd be in one state on a break, and then he'd call me the next day and he'd be like, look where I'm at now. I'm in, you know, he'd be in Florida, and then he'd be in LA, and then he'd be, you know, in Texas. Like, he would be all over the place. Like, he was just having fun living life. And, like, I feel like that's what I've taken away from him, is, like, just live my life to the fullest. Like, 'cause you never know when it's going to be taken away from you. So yeah, I know a lot of people, you know, more into that, but, especially in the tight end room, we got really close with each other. I felt like it brought us a lot closer, and this season for us was really special. And, like, I'll always remember this season, and the guys in the room and the people around me that have made this past season so special. So I'm thankful for all of them and everyone who's been in that journey. So,
man, I mean, that, hearing all that, man, that makes me, it brings back memories of me and, you know, losses that I had. You know, I lost my brother. It'll be in 8 days,
yeah,
2 years from the day. I'll never forget that phone call. And just hearing you talk about it, like, just brings, like, tears.
Yeah, it's unsettling for your stomach, you know?
It's really, really hard to talk about it, hear things like that. But we do learn.
No, for sure.
Things, and like you said, it helped you, like, realize, you know, or helped you live more. And,
yeah.
You know, be more outgoing, things like that. It had the same effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way, like, people loved him.
Yeah.
And the type of person he was. And it makes you realize how short life is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just makes you say, you know what? I'm going to live exactly how I want to.
Right.
I'm do exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to spread love. I'm going to spread this positivity. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spread, you know, happiness. Because you never know that next day.
You never know what you're guaranteed, man. You never know if you're going to wake up on this side of the earth or not.
Exactly.
So,
no, I mean, it's sad, but it's also, at the same time, you're grateful that person was in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because without them, you know, and I know, at least for my part, he would want me to take something positive out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And without them, I wouldn't have learned that lesson.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely, totally.
So, I mean, kind of, you did it a few times in this already, but, you know, I like to end it off with any piece of advice you could give anyone.
Oh, yeah.
What would it be? I mean, you already...
There's a lot of advice. There's been a lot of advice.
You said a lot of good stuff so far.
I'll just say that, you know, a lot of people think we have time.
Mm-hmm.
But time is the most, like, valuable and important thing that we have.
You can't get it back.
You can't get it back. So I think that you need to take advantage of all the time you have while you're here and not waste it. Like, get out, do those things you want to do, enjoy your life how you want to enjoy them. Just live your life to the fullest, really. What are you going to do with it? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that would be my biggest piece of advice. You know, also, like, just don't ever quit. Like, it's gonna get tough. Life is gonna get tough, but those are all lessons for you to learn. You're gonna go through adversity, and you just learn from every piece of adversity that you go through. And it's gonna make you a better person in sports, in life, in relationships, with whatever. So yeah, man.
Well, I appreciate that. That sounds, you know, that's great advice. And I actually, you know, I live part of that stuff you were saying, you know, every single day.
Yeah.
You know, at least I try to, and it's something that we need to be reminded of, you know, as often as we can. Because sometimes you get lost every day, and, you know, you forget to be grateful for all the little things.
Most definitely.
But, hey, I really appreciate you coming on. I loved hearing your story. I'm excited for this year. Yeah,
appreciate you for having me. I'm excited to be here in Miami, man. Let's get to work, right? It's about to be fun.
All right. Well, thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see you next time.